A friend of mine was working for Sky Sports, and he was, it was Israel v Russia. Remember when England needed Israel to win, to set up, you know, a comfortable point at home against Croatia.
Yeah.
And to go through to the Euros. And he was in the studio, and Richard Keys was presenting, and Hoddle and Trevor Francis were the pundits. And apparently Richard Keys is known for passing wind quite violently.
From his mouth? Or
No, from his bottom. And the cameras stopped rolling and the game started. And, you know, the presenter and the two pundits were just sort of merrily watching away, and suddenly Keys just goes... and lets rip a big one. Leans across the desk, looks at Trevor Francis and goes, "Get involved, Trev." Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. Here we are once again, and Luke's here.
Hello.
James is here.
Hello there.
And producer Pete is back once again with the Renegade Master.
Good morning, everyone. Afternoon, evening, wherever you might be listening to this.
It's up to you, isn't it? That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Your own decisions.
We're not telling you what to do.
Oh, dear. But if I can ask you a question before the madness begins, what is your favourite football team nickname?
The Posh.
You knew that was mine.
Oh, is it yours?
Well, I can think of another one, so don't
worry. The Posh. Do you know why they're called the Posh?
Peterborough.
Yeah, do you know why they're called the Posh? It's something to do with them having... It was almost like them having, like, a new kit or something, and everyone was like, "Oh, you look posh."
Really?
That's blatantly not it, is it? I just made
Victoria
that up.
Victoria Beckham was this tried to sue him, didn't she?
What?
No, I read this somewhere, possibly in The Sun, so, you know.
What?
She tried to sue them for use of the nickname.
But they had the nickname well before her.
You know, she doesn't understand linear time.
She never tried
to
sue them.
Well, I'm just reporting what The Sun say, mate. If you've got a problem with them, take it up.
James?
I'll probably go with Lecce, because they're called the Flying Donkeys. It's just the stupidest nickname for a team.
Amazing.
And the Monkey Hangers is good.
But that's not like an official nickname, though, is it? You wouldn't hear that on Sky Sport.
And
the Monkey Hangers have gone one up.
He's talking about Hartlepool, of course.
Yeah.
Pete, do you have one?
I don't know, probably the Baggies. I don't know where that comes from. Does anybody know?
I'm not sure, actually. They do that boing, 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 don't they?
Yeah, that doesn't relate in any way to the term the Baggies.
Absolutely not. No,
I mean, what is a Baggy?
What is a Baggy?
Yeah.
Maybe they're just like loads of Manchester kids.
They're all pretty simple up there, aren't they? So it could be anything.
That's a good shout out with Manchester.
I quite like the Viola Fiorentina. I mention that quite a lot, don't I? I don't mean to, but I do come out of
quite
a lot.
You mentioned it last time.
It's just because you talk incessantly, constantly.
Yeah, so
the
what
same
I was saying
inevitably
was...
come up.
Now, you mentioned it before but, on the previous show, perhaps, because it was the profiles about Battistuta, so that was relevant.
Yeah.
I don't remember you...
The Viola's a good nickname, I think.
The nickname I like is Juventus.
The old lady.
The old lady.
Yeah.
I quite like that one. The other one I like is, I'm not sure if it's an official one, but I would err on the side of it not being one, but it's certainly touted around that team a lot, is Cowden Beath, the Blue Brazil.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. But they play in blue as well, Brazil, so...
Well,
the Cowden Beath players all paint themselves blue, as in the movie Braveheart. It's a thing
of
Scottish lower league teams
do. I understand.
I understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Blue Brazil, quite like that one. The other one I like...
You'll never break her offside!
Oh, you have! On an international level, the Ivory Coast national team are called the Elephants.
Oh, there's some good ones in Africa. There's some, the Indomitable Lions is one as well.
That's Cameroon.
There's some brilliant ones in Africa, honestly. Super Eagles, Nigeria.
Yeah, Black Stars, Ghana.
Yeah, there's some brilliant ones.
Well, that's very much a West African theme going on.
Yeah, awesome.
The West Africans know what they're talking about, the Elephants, Ivory Coast.
Yeah, is that right? Is it?
That is right. Yeah, they've their manager.
Name one thing that elephants have that no other animal has.
Teeth.
Yeah.
It's not teeth, is it? It's not teeth.
A trunk, tusks, massive ears.
Baby elephants.
Boom.
Thanks.
Jesus.
Okay.
Cheers. let you have that.
Yeah. Thanks.
Did you know that there's a Bosnian in charge of the Ivory Coast national side?
That's allowed, mate. It's fine.
Yeah.
We've moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's allowed.
It's allowed. What's wrong with that?
Where was I when that girl came in?
Who is it?
His name is Vahid Halidovicevic. I think you'll find that's the correct pronunciation.
Is it Slobodan Makokibic?
He's one of them, yeah. He's a bit worried, though, because...
On your back, you bitch?
A lot of the Ivorian Coastian people are thinking that they're going to really make a massive impression at 2010 World Cup. And he's a little bit worried.
They've got a good team, haven't
they? They've got every right to think that, surely. Yeah.
Well, it's quite funny. He said that he hears everywhere, you've got a super team. And this is a direct quote. He said, I don't have a super team. Perhaps there are some special players, but the team itself is still rather average.
Bit of confidence.
Yeah. Is that not his fault, though? Can't get the stars to
Is it? Is it Kazakhstan who have come up with a bit of money and they want their manager to deliver them not the World Cup?
Well, they want to get.
Yeah,
to
they
the
want to get
Cup.
To the World Cup, don't they? They actually sacked somebody over it recently. It's absolutely absurd.
They've got quite a big population, haven't they?
Yeah, it's a huge, it's a growing country, but not yet.
They're absolute dog shit, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they really.
No, Kazakhstan aren't that bad,
mate. They're going to finish like second bottom of the group.
Yeah, but they're not awful. They're not like San Marino or someone.
Yeah, mate. What are you trying to say?
Well, all I'm saying is they're not dog shit.
They're not going to get to the World Cup between now and 2020. That's not even a World Cup year.
So?
2022. but don't forget with Ivory Coast, as Pelé rightly said, an African team will win the World Cup by the year 2000.
Yeah,
so
doomed.
That has been
Did
proved.
He say 2000?
Yeah. Said that he said by the end of the century.
Mm. Which century?
Good point. I would assume it was 2000, but I mean, not getting bogged down with Pelé and all the stupid stuff he said, because we've done that before, but he also said that Colombia would win the 94 World Cup.
Mm. Yeah, we've said exactly that before, haven't we?
Yeah, it's cut that
out. So you just did what cut you said out. We wouldn't.
I'm editing it, so yeah. I know what I want.
He also got robbed recently, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, isn't it?
Not really.
One of the world's greatest ever players got robbed.
It doesn't matter who gets robbed.
It's all comedy.
It doesn't matter
it's
who
all
gets
material,
robbed.
Isn't it?
Thou shalt not steal from a direct victim. You know that. But,
I know that. Yeah, with my previous.
No, there's a lot of...
As a reformed thief.
That's what the judge said to you.
Yeah. Give me the mic back.
Sorry.
I was in Africa a couple of times this year.
He's turned to a rapper. Give him the mic back.
Anyway, I went to Africa a couple of times. They seriously think that they're going to have it's going to be an African winner in 2010.
Well, yeah, it is in Africa, isn't it? There's that kind of emotion is going to be running high. You can imagine that's completely reasonable.
I think perhaps in 2014 maybe, but I think this is perhaps a little too soon for them.
Well, you could argue it. I mean, Argentina have got a strong side, but they've taken a big managerial gamble.
Mm. No, they've made a big managerial mistake, haven't they?
Well, let's give them a chance, mate.
You really don't think that's a good move, do you? Well,
no, come on, it's not going to work, is it?
We said our piece about it. I think you've got to give him a chance. He's got a good team around him.
Absolutely. Isn't going to work.
He's got a good Barnet these days, you know, I think.
In Maradona, he's got the same Barnet he's had for about 25 years.
No, I think it kind of sort of went downhill recently.
If yours was a bit more curly, it'd be a Maradona, wouldn't it?
Mm. Well,
that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
So you're only a crack, you're only a coke habit and a decent amount of skill away from being Maradona.
And a stomach stable.
Yeah. No, you have been known to take pot shots at journalists outside your house with an air rifle as well, haven't you? So
I'd prefer not to talk about that.
But I mean, Africa. There's some good African sides. You know.
There is some good African sides.
Brazil are obviously going to be a contender. You've got
hang on. Well, you're talking about African sides.
No, he's talking about the World Cup in general.
All right, okay. Sorry.
I'm talking about potential teams that could get in the way of an African team winning it.
Yes.
Brazil have got a good side. Argentina have got a good side.
Yeah.
I mean,
you're talking about the usual suspects.
Dare I say, England might have a good chance by then. It's a possibility. We're going to be there or thereabouts.
It is within the realms of possibility. Yeah.
Spain have obviously got a very good side. You know, Italy had a bit of an anomaly. Is that a word? Anomaly.
I think it is.
In the Euro 2008, they've got a good team.
We'll have it.
France are an absolute bunch of jokers with an idiot as a
manager. Knows what he's doing, though, doesn't he?
Yeah. He looks like... who does he look like?
Paul O'Grady.
That's it, Paul O'Grady, yeah. You always say that. I forgot.
Well, I never said that.
I noticed how certain members of the press have started referring to Mark Hughes as Elsa from Home and Away.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember her?
I never watched Home and Away.
Oh, Elsa, he looks like her.
Okay, I'll have to look into that.
It's very good.
His job's been a bit under... people are saying he was a bit under fire with his job. I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he's lost a lot of games, isn't he?
No, he's lost three in a row.
Under that sort of spotlight, the press are always going to go, oh, we could make up a story here.
I think it was that couple with that a meeting, didn't they, this week?
Why do they know that?
And he's won. They've only won 2-7, though.
It's not a good record of late, but I mean, surely you know, he's brought in a few new players. And
the problem is, I think the chairman's signing players that Hughes hadn't even known about. I mean, when Rubinho was signed on deadline day, Hughes didn't know anything about it, did he?
Rubinho has been a revelation.
He's been brilliant.
We questioned whether he'd actually settle in quickly enough, and he really, really has. The winter's still coming up.
But
everyone, if he was going to go to Chelsea, everyone was like, oh, that's a great sign and absolutely brilliant. The moment he goes to Man City, hang on a minute, he'll play while 1 in 3 and he'll be having
a bad winter. He looks like he's enjoying his football.
I think they've got attacking, they look pretty good.
They're so hit and miss. They're such a strange side at the moment, City, because they could turn up and be brilliant or just look completely listless.
If he's given time there, I know it's a classic case of, the manager needs time, but he genuinely does, I think.
He's a good manager.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's got the resources, has he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It depends whether, on a larger scale, whether the new owners want to bring their own man in, which again is sort of fair enough. But
Do you think, though, because obviously they didn't just decide, hang on, let's buy a club on deadline day. Negotiations must have been going on for a while, so, you know, there must have been some sort of understanding that Hughes was going to be there. I reckon they're giving time.
Well, you'd hope so.
I don't know what I think on that. It's one of those ones. It's just impossible to call, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think raising new rich owners? Do you think anything could happen there?
Is Joe Kinnear going to be given a little bit more time?
I was actually just about to say that. I read that for some reason all the odds on Alan Shearer being the next Newcastle manager got massively slashed.
They have done. You're right.
And so they had a poor result. Kinnear's not of this sort of era, is he?
No.
He had a massive pop at the referee again.
He
had a massive pop at the referee again yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, he did, and he said, I'll have to watch what I say and so on.
You can't call a ref a Mickey Mouse ref. I mean, no, he didn't give you a decision, which is a debatable decision at best anyway. It wasn't a Rob Stiles.
No.
It was a debatable decision, and then like,
it just had an unfortunate knock-on effect, you know, and unfortunately he has a bit of a silly sod playing in the centre of the defence who fouled Andy Johnson quite blatantly.
It was Coloccini with the initial push, and then it was...
No, Coloccini bundled it.
Kasapa made the mistake.
That's right,
Coloccini tried to tidy it up. But I don't think the problems are even with the defence. He insists on having a big man up front, a la Wimbledon, and he's just kind of like...
Yeah.
He puts Shaw Lamy up front. He ain't a footballer.
No, he's had
seven seasons to be a footballer.
He's a female R&B star, as you know. But to be fair to R&B superstar Shaw Lamy, though, he has actually got...
It's probably Robson calls him Cole Court.
He's picked up a few goals lately, hasn't he? And he hadn't scored in, like, 2 years.
No.
Didn't Kinnear say he was going to make him the next John Fashanu, which isn't, you know, the best thing he could say. It's an improvement on not scoring at all.
And just going elbowing people in the face.
But being focused.
Yeah, but to be fair, didn't Anobi have a real bad hip injury for ages?
He's really, really good at holding up the ball. But you know, anyone could, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like he just ambles around. He falls over too much. I find it very difficult. He's had his time. You know what I mean? Whereby we let a load of strikers go past few years, like youth strikers. We've just consistently gone with Schürrle, and he's just no good. He really, I do not, he doesn't represent value.
He's one of those sort of strikers that you don't always necessarily trust on a one-on-one.
You never trust him on a one-on-one.
Absolutely.
That's a good point, though.
It's funny, because Obafemi Martins, who also obviously plays up top, have you ever noticed how early he fucking shoots? Ridiculous! He always shoots before he's got the ball.
He has been told to shoot on sight, because
he catches keepers out.
More selfish, yeah.
He is good for that, though. Martins, he will get an absolute screamer.
He's a really good player.
Smash the ball.
I think he's a good player. Yeah,
it's a good player to give that advice to. I think
he's only 17 as well.
No, he's 44, isn't he?
Yeah, probably. Well, he's older than Carnu.
He was in the same class as Roger Miller. So, something like that. Darren Bent's looking good, talking to Stuart.
Darren Bent was always going to score goals, wasn't he? Like, people were saying, oh, he's rubbish, he's not worth the money. But he scored loads for Charlton. The Charlton were awful.
He scored a hatful for Charlton. I mean, that was an achievement.
Since the start of pre-season, he's got 22 goals for Tottenham.
Mm.
Well, it's pretty good.
Pre-season, he looked amazing.
People were saying, like, he's going to have to score the same, like, the same amount of goals combined as Berbatov and Robbie Keane. He's doing that already. He's doing it at the moment.
I was thinking about, you're looking at the Premiership, you've got... Liverpool and Chelsea are both on 29 points.
Liverpool are doing brilliantly. Sorry to cut in there.
We haven't
mentioned that yet, like, at all this season.
Without Torres
as well.
They
deserve some credit.
Without Torres as well.
Well, recently, yeah.
Well, he's missed about 4 or 5 games.
Okay, important games. Fair play. But, after the Arsenal-Man U game, which, of course, was a superb match, you know, Richard Keyes just kind of looks at the camera and goes, it's not bad, this league, is it?
It's all down to you, Richard.
Worse than that was before the game when they were interviewing Gary Barlow and Robbie Williams. Yeah, then they started talking about Take That.
Oh, yeah, you texted me about this.
Graham Souness is going to see Take That in June. Why do we need to know
that?
This?
Was a sort of insightful.
Why is he doing that?
That's the pre-match insight you get from Sky Sports. For your 40 quid a month.
Then they started talking about
Jeremy Renner. Oh, I am going to see him in June.
Who said that?
Graham Souness.
Oh, right, Swedish bloke.
Your mate, Graham Souness. He loves Graham Souness. He's met him once, and he was a really nice guy. He loves him.
That's what he said about me. I gave him a two-footer.
No, yeah, but like before that, they were talking about Jamie Redknapp and how he met his wife and stuff like that. It's just like Jamie fucking Redknapp's family album. Can you talk about the game?
Here's an advert for Nintendo Wii with Jamie fucking Redknapp. Awful.
It's a bit silly, isn't it? But I don't like that kind of... I don't know, you often get it from those kind of silly pundits that have that, oh, the Premiership's the best league in the world, da da da. What is all this talk about the best league in the world? It's a good league. Can't we just get on with it and just enjoy it?
Yeah, why is the competitive...
Well,
yeah.
Who cares if it's the best
objective.
League?
But we can't be the only people having our intelligence insulted by Sky Sports all the time. I mean, Satanta is... Something came to me the other day. I was watching the Joe Calzaghe fight. And Satanta Sports boxing coverage was absolutely spot on.
Was
it? Yeah, it's brilliant. Sky Sports cricket coverage is top draw, right? Yeah. I've heard people say to me that their rugby coverage is very good as well. So why the fuck can't Satanta or Sky Sports do anything decent with football? Hang on,
compare it to ITV or Five, right?
I think Satanta's worse than ITV.
Really?
For football. Satanta. But what I'm saying
about that,
I don't think Sky Sports is that bad for football. It just annoys me that they seem to think. I mean, the football does owe a certain debt to Sky Sports because it reinvigorated it.
Sure.
It brought it to a wider audience. But they do think that that football didn't exist before.
Yeah, fair play.
That's what annoys me about it.
Yeah.
They won't acknowledge what happens if there's like a stat where something's never happened since like fucking the 70s or something. They won't hardly acknowledge it. Yeah. Like, very rarely they'll acknowledge it. They'll say it's never happened in the history of the Premier League.
They are very much the Premiership. Lame. That's where perhaps BBC scores points over them. The BBC does look a bit further back than that.
But it's a chance to even get a deal with James Richardson, who, for my money, is the best football presenter in my generation. The man was doing Serie A for Gazzetta Football Italia. He was doing that when he was 25 years old.
Is that right? God, he looked old.
He looked exactly the same all the way through. But he was 25 when he first started doing that, which is unbelievable. Now, Satanta have got a deal with him, and they still don't even put him on the fucking games. They put him on some magazine show that no one watches. No one watches Satanta outside the games themselves. That is a fact.
Clearly there's a market here for Ramble TV, and Barry Davis will commentate on everything.
And when Barry Davis dies, we'll have to wind it up.
What, rewind it, you mean?
Just
play old commentary over the new games.
We'll cut it together. That could be Pete's job. It cuts together.
That's it. But talking about the Premiership being the best league in the world, let me just say, I was just saying, Liverpool and Chelsea are on 29 points. Second to third, there's a 6-point gap. Yeah. Now, I know it's early in the season, but at the moment in La Liga, they've played one or two games less than the Prem. Between first and fifth, 5 points separate. And in Serie A, again, similar amount of games, maybe one or two less, 4 points separate first and seventh. Wow. Now, you see...
It's close. Inter a top.
Now, what do they rate it on, the best league in the world?
I'll tell you what...
Do they rate it on the quality?
Let's just discount it.
Okay,
they're only saying that because they've got the coverage.
Yeah.
They're paying a lot of money for it, so I'm just hyping it up.
But what I'm saying is, that's what I like about La Liga and Serie A, the title running... Excuse me.
Sorry about that. That was me moving the mic. As always, I'm worried that I'm not loud enough.
Don't worry about that.
We don't even turn your mic on. Have you not stopped me?
I don't need one.
The La Liga title run, usually there's kind of like three or four teams that can still win it with a couple of weeks to go.
Last season, wasn't it? It came right down to the last day. Villarreal could have won it. They've never won a trophy. Like, nothing.
No.
It's a great league.
Barcelona are playing some brilliant football.
Oh, they're magnificent.
They smashed Fulham's lead the other night. Did
they score all the goals in the first half or something?
6-0. I don't know, but
that's
about the third or fourth
time this season they've hit like 5 or 6. At one stage, flying.
At one stage, they'd hit 38 goals in 12 games. And they scored 6 against Fulham's lead last night, or the other night, and Eto got 4.
He did, yeah.
And Pep Guardiola said, going into that game, he said he's still not convinced he's going to keep Eto.
Well, I think Semedo is one of the best strikers in the world at the moment.
Absolutely. Such a brilliant finisher.
Yeah,
and he's got a lot more to his game than that. But he's one of those players. You know, if he's got a chance, he's not gonna miss it. He's sort of pinpoint, like, you know how Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, he's class.
If he gets a chance, he'll
play
it.
Yeah. Absolutely right.
But I'll tell you what's worth mentioning while you're on the subject of sort of the other European leagues is how badly Roma are doing.
Yeah, they're
doing too well.
They're fourth or fifth from bottom. Mm. They came second last year. They only just missed out on the title. They did. I mean, what do you think, Pete? Do you think Bentley would be a good bloke or not?
I don't know.
what kind of question's that?
I'm just trying to get a consensus.
Well, I've never met the man.
What do you think
really,
he's doing
really...
right now?
No, he's probably punching a dog. He's a real shit.
Stephen Ireland, he obviously doesn't play for Ireland. Do you know why?
No, he does play for Ireland, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't.
He said he's not. Has he pulled out?
He pulled out a while ago. When our business happened, he's not. He said his head's not straight or something. You can't.
It's because
he's probably literally trying to straighten his head. It's round.
It is to do with his head. Actually, it was the last straw. He was fed up with people giving him so much crap in Ireland mainly, and the Irish public taking the piss out of him. And the last straw was when he had the hair transplant.
I heard Richard Dunn was putting him down, like putting it and stuff.
Yeah, when he had the hair transplant. And everyone just absolutely berated him, and he just said, "Oh, enough's enough." And enough's enough. Yeah, and he kind of pulled out the squad. That's Irish people have told me that.
That's a shame. He has a really good.
And then he shaves all his hair off. He's not even making use of it.
He looks really bald.
That's
now,
making a mockery of the surgeons.
See, Pete's got a bonehead, but you can see where his hair was.
Yeah,
but Stephen Ireland
grow
like
hair.
A
there's a potential there to grow hair.
Well,
absolutely,
in places. But Stephen Ireland's literally big razored his hair, isn't he?
Yeah, he's
completely bald. Yeah, he looks like John Malkovich.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, it's a shame though because he would be their main man in the
he's a very, very good player. I think he'll be a big player for City.
Well, he is a big player for City.
Well, yeah, I mean, but I think his influence will grow. Like,
he's in my dream team.
Is he?
Yeah, he's in my dream team as well.
Yeah.
On the subject of taking you over?
Yeah, people have been moaning that we haven't been mentioned in the dream team. It's probably because we're all doing so shy, man. Well, Jimbo's doing okay. You're about 23rd or something.
James is the only one who's showing an ounce of faith.
Yeah, I've not been on it much recently, to be honest. I've not been keeping up with it.
I'm 60th.
Nice.
Out of 68. Nice.
You're trying.
Pete, you're just a bit above me, and Marcus is a bit above
me. I'm 55th.
As well. That's a victory for me.
I was bottom, and, you know, had a little tinker, and I'm kind of shooting up the table now.
Shooting up through the right. That is not the right objective. That is the wrong objective.
You've got to start somewhere. I'm a slow starter like the Italians.
But I'm upset that Luke Moore's been found out finally.
But it's long one to go yet, Pete. I'll tell you. Yeah. Listen,
when the money dries up, who could you bring in?
Yeah, it's true, actually. Right, to be fair, the only reason you moved above me is because I made 32 points worth of transfers.
That's a lot.
I traditionally have a massive Christmas.
Yeah, but back to the fantasy football. How do you think you're going to do?
Yeah, good one. I'll go on record right now for the literally tens of listeners to collaborate.
Come on, let's have it.
I will see it as nothing less than a personal tragedy if I lose to you in fantasy football.
I've already said I'll finish higher than you.
Let's lay out some forfeits right now.
Forfeits.
Let's lay out some forfeits right now.
Let's move to another league in the world of reality.
Okay.
The sphere.
Because that's where we tend to operate. Jens Lehmann has said he may retire from football.
Is that because he got booked the other day?
It's in protest at the Standard of refereeing in the Bundesliga.
Well, basically because he got a yellow card.
He picked up his third booking for dissent this season. Unsurprisingly, I must add. But he said, I may as well not bother playing in future. I didn't even say anything nasty to the referee.
If I get booked for dissent, it's a bookable offence.
If you keep coming to the rules, then
what's the point?
If you keep arriving at the game in your helicopter, you're going to get booked. If the rotors are still slowing down as they kick off, you're going to get booked.
Apparently...
He was making out that like someone was...
It was a Frankfurt player. He said faked an injury.
He always does that. He's always been
as if Jens Lehmann's never faked an injury.
Well, it's in his side. Stuttgart is playing for it. Yeah. They were on the counter, and the referee stopped play to go back to the injured player.
Is he captain of Stuttgart?
I'm not sure. He should be though.
Because if he's captain, he
leads by example.
Yeah, but he's allowed to talk to the referee if he's captain, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but I don't think he would worry if he was captain or not. No. He'd just be straight out the box.
I mean, do you remember that thing he did with Drogba where they threw each other on the floor?
That was absolutely amazing.
There's another thing he did against Man United when I think he was accusing someone of time-wasting, but rather than just outright accuse him, Arsenal went one up, and before a goal kick, he sat down and he was like grabbing his ankle going, ooh, ooh, really sarcastically. Brilliant.
He is a nutter.
He's insane. He's a loon. Yeah, he's insane. And he's only saying, if he was South American, we'd all love him.
We'd love him anyway, don't we?
Come on.
Okay, everyone would love him, but people cane him, don't they? Yeah, it's because he's German.
You're right there, because there's not enough of the South American isms in Europe, I don't think.
I don't think I understand the statement.
Well, we like going to South America because of the madness, and we like a bit more of that madness in Europe, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Are you not going to get any complaints from me about that?
No, I didn't think I would.
Please retire that end up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a little proposition for you. Haven't we, Luke?
We have, apparently. Yeah, we have. Go ahead, tell them what it is.
Five-a-side. We want to start our own five-a-side team.
We'll put together a team of us four, myself, Marcus, Pedro, and Jimbo in sticks. he's a decent keeper, Jimbo. And we'll get another player in, one of our mates or something. We'll make up a five, and any Ramble listener wants to put a team together and play us in the central London area. We'll sort out the logistics and the pitch and all that sort of stuff nearer the time. Email in on footballramble@hotmail.com or through the Facebook or the MySpace or whatever, and we'll make it happen. And
if you've got some spare gloves, bring them as well.
Are we doing head height?
But what we'll do is we'll bring our cameras down, we'll take some photos, put them up on the website, that sort of stuff.
We'll need them to provide the ball.
I've got a ball.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fine.
But let's make it happen, though, yeah? Emails into footballramble@hotmail.com, and if you beat us, you get to...
host the next show.
Guest present. Yeah, so there we go.
Funny stories.
I like that.
I like that new jingle.
It suits our sideways glance at the world of football. We never say that, do we?
It's the theme tune to Steve McLaren's England, without a doubt.
Okay,
have a drink.
I'm having a drink, I'm warming up. Right, this one's about Sami Naseri. This happened a little while ago, but I think it's relevant to bring it up now, just because he was prominent at the weekend. Arsenal soccer star Sami Naseri was a marked man last night after a holiday fling with a girlfriend of a 15-stone rugby hunk. French star Naseri, 21, swept brunette Amy Davison off her feet on holiday in Cuba. That's Amy, AYMEE.
Is that a picture there?
That is a picture. She's bang tidy.
She's really
fit, done well.
Bang tidy.
Yeah. So now her 6'2" boyfriend Phil McCaw has threatened to punch the lights out of the millionaire midfielder. I doubt that quote, because it punched the lights out.
I doubt he's a millionaire, yeah.
Is that his real name? Phil McCaw?
Yeah.
Phil McBoot.
Some of Naz we can relax, because that's blatantly not a real person.
Yeah. Okay. Fashion student Amy initially denied romping with Naseri, because no one romps. That's a fair enough thing to deny. Yeah. After going skinny dipping with pals on the Caribbean island. But she later admitted it after furious Phil confronted her over pictures of them cuddling on the Facebook website.
The thing is,
it strikes again.
Is that Facebook website for Marcus's benefit?
Yeah, it's a website, Marcus. Yeah. Phil, 19, who plays for... He's 19, bloody hell. Who plays for Doncaster Academy Rugby Union side in Yorkshire, said, "We'd still be together if she hadn't met Naseri in Cuba. I'm absolutely furious with him and would consider punching his lights out if we met."
Of course, it's not
Sami and Naseri's fault, really. He's not entirely to blame here.
Of course you'd still be together had she not have met a better bloke.
Yeah. We've all been there. Do you know what I mean?
So, right, Amy denied a fling at first, but wasn't the same girl when she came back. Maybe he's just really stupid, this bloke, and he's like literally...
Maybe he took someone else home, that's why he wasn't the same girl.
We ended up having furious phone rounds until she admitted she'd slept with him.
This is your gossip column, James, isn't
it? Yeah, it is, I love it. This is brilliant, right? The beauty told Phil there was no romance, but surprised her boyfriend with her sudden knowledge of French phrases. They split after Phil found photos of Amy with Naseri on Facebook and his details on her mobile phone. She is not very good at
this. What did you see in him? He just had a certain je ne sais quoi. That's how it went.
Phil tried in vain to confront the soccer star on the internet. I sent him an email.
Can you do that? I'm confronting you on the internet.
I'm just screaming at his screen. Yeah. Oh, don't you ignore me. Yeah.
Phil is typing a message. I will punch your lights out.
Sami Naseri has logged off.
Yeah.
Maybe he just left messages on like loads of YouTube comments. I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
I sent Naseri an email asking whether he realised the girl he'd been seeing had a boyfriend, but he never replied. Because he doesn't care.
No, exactly.
I can't see what Amy saw in him apart from the money. He's nothing to look at. Ooh. There's no way back for me and Amy now. Blah, blah, blah. Amy last night denied having a relationship with Nasri, who declined to comment, yes, because it is all rather silly, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Back to South America now. Something brilliant has happened again.
Come on.
Botafogo defender Andre Luis disagreed with the referee Carlos Chandia's decision to book him in their Copa Sudamericana quarterfinal versus Estudiantes. I just love saying these words.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And registered his disapproval by snatching the yellow card and showing it back to the ref. Unfortunately for Luis, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah. No.
And it was his second yellow of the game, so the ref showed him the other card, which was red. Stupid stuff, but brilliantly entertaining. It finished 2-2 on the night, meaning Botafogo left 4-2 on aggregate.
He booked the referee.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Of course, this isn't the first time a player has carded a ref, but it's the first time I've seen a red card ref carded with such pure anger. Yeah, the video of this is amazing. It goes absolutely mental. I'll put it up on the MySpace. It'll be up there by the time this is out. Andre Luis could definitely use a nice chamomile tea or something to calm him down, because this isn't even the worst thing he's done in 2008. In June this year, Luis was sent off again and threw such a monumental wobbly that he was arrested on the pitch. This is clearly written by someone who's isn't their first language, this bit. It says, Nautico received Botafogo at the Athletos Stadium. The match was 1-0 for the locals when Botafogo's defender Andre Luis was sent off. Not having the red card, the defender gave the big middle finger for Nautico fans as he left the pitch, kicked a bottle of water, who hit a few fans, this says, and tried to remain seated on the bench instead of going to the dressing room. Referee Wilson Luis Sineme asked the police to take the player from the pitch. Confusion set in and the officers arrested the defender. Andre Luis started to argue and was arrested for misbehaviour and offence towards the police. The other players tried to protect him, and chaos took over the field in a battle between police and Botafogo players. And the players were not alone. When the confusion started, Botafogo's president, Bebeto de Freitas, jumped in and was taken to the station as well. Bebeto claims that local police have been over the top. The police claim that the two were disrespectful and unstoppable. That's brilliant. Unstoppable. Yeah.
Remember his name. While we're on the subject of South American football, I found a good website the other day, southamericanfootball.co.uk. It sounds obvious, but I've never seen it before. It's good.
I've never heard of that.
It's a load of news and
it's about
stuff.
Time.
Game reviews and stuff. You never see any South American football anywhere, so it's good.
No, it's true.
Southamericanfootball.co.uk.
That's what we like.
Yeah, I actually watched the video of this guy getting arrested, and there were people in riot gear, and there was about 10 policemen chasing him, and he kept getting away. Shrugging them off. He just wasn't having it.
On a football pitch, there's only so many places he can go.
Yeah.
Is there any?
It's like
that dog on the pitch.
He sort of runs to one corner flag and then across to the other one.
We'll have to put that video up, mate.
Yeah, we'll do that. I'll be up before the show goes out. Got another one here. This is another one in South America. Similar, actually. Aurora beat local rivals Wilstermann 1-0 in a Cochabamba. That's a great place. Cochabamba derby.
That's in Bolivia.
Yes, that's right. Which ended in uproar after the winners had Eduardo Centeno sent off late in the game. Centeno dallied over leaving the field, and around one dozen police came on to hurry him up. The long and short of this,
that's
one
dozen.
The goalkeeper picked up the corner flag and was using it as a weapon.
I've seen them do that. I've seen them do that before.
That's an overreaction. If a player is taking ages to go off after being red carded, right, don't bring 12 policemen on the pitch. that's an overreaction by anyone's standards.
Is there any wonder that South American players take a little bit of time to adjust?
Yeah.
I think so.
Right. I'm not sure where these teams are. This is somewhere in England. This is fantastic. A football match was cancelled after angry wild boars invaded the pitch.
Oh, that's amazing.
The hogs squeezed through a gap in the fence at Sadley Recreation Ground in the Forest of Dean during the Villagers' match against Charfield on Saturday and dug up giant mounds with their snouts. The pitch was so badly damaged by the boars, who live in nearby woodland, that the match had to be called off. Pitch underwent a grand re-turfing and expansion last April, paid for by fundraising events such as discos.
I love that. They live in a nearby woodland. They're not going to live in a nearby council.
I'd absolutely shit myself with that.
Yeah. God, yeah.
They're big, they are, those fucking pigs.
Gloucestershire Football Association operations manager Chris Lucker said today, "This is the first time we've heard of anything like this. Usually it's motorbikes or cars that tear up pitches, not boars."
I don't know which would be more terrifying.
Well, motorbikes live in the woods.
Yeah, all sorts.
This is absolutely amazing. Apparently, after being hunted to near extinction 300 years ago, wild boars have bred rapidly in recent decades after they were imported from Europe for meat. Escapes from wildlife parks and farms increased in the 90s as the captive numbers grew. January this year, a wild boar broke into Ruidon Primary School, 7 miles away from the Sadley pitch, and was shot dead in the playground after it became aggressive and stomped its feet. A selective cull of boars was sanctioned in February this year by biodiversity manager John Ruddock. These things are unstoppable.
I don't think they're that common. I've never seen one.
These things can do whatever they want.
Have you ever seen one?
No, I haven't.
Only in Robin Hood films. Did they get them
in the exotic northeast?
No, I was thinking about the song Wild Boys and apply it to Wild Boys.
Wild Boys! Wild Boys!
magazine. Wild Boars, they'll dig up your pitch.
That'll be in like the guy who plays the CDs at football matches. He'll have that. Yeah.
Do you think he'd have Girls and Balls by Blur?
Girls who want balls,
like football pitches or something.
And you could go on.
I like that we've got a reference to Duran Duran in there because they are undeniably the greatest band in history.
Say something, Luke.
I'm cutting that out. For the risk of the Rambles' reputation.
You noticed they're in our top friends?
I have noticed. I have noticed.
You put Duran Duran in our top friends.
Oh, yeah.
What other Wild Boar songs can we think of?
Boars, I'm looking for a pitch invasion.
Let me rephrase that. What other Wild Boar songs can we think about which aren't just substituting the word boy for boar?
Okay.
Boar Slippy.
Maybe it was just like a bunch of wild boars. And they were just like really rowdy blokes just going along.
What's a
boar?
That's the kind of thing that Sylvester Stallone would say if he saw one. Boar.
Boar. Boar. He's got a really high IQ, isn't he, weirdly?
Schwarzenegger. Boar!
Weirdly.
Get to the chopper! Let's have a jingle, a wild boar jingle, Pete. Awesome.
Brilliant.
You got to be happy having Duran Duran.
Oh, I am. I'm delighted.
Ladies and gentlemen, the player profile. And today is a man who everyone has an opinion of. It's Roy Morris Keane.
Keane-o. Nice. Royston.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Doing nothing to dispel the myth of our Manchester United bias by choosing him.
No one's ever said that we've added a Manchester United.
Well, they have.
They have, yeah.
Who? Name and shame them.
No, they're listeners.
Okay. Yeah, Roy Keane. Important figure in the Premiership.
Royston Keane.
Absolutely. Do you know he took up boxing at the age of 9?
Yeah. I can imagine that.
Nine years old. He trained for a few years and he won all 4 bouts in his novice league that he was in.
This is probably in like a man's league as well.
You've chosen this to just... You've literally chosen Roy Keane to give some balance to our Hall of Fame team, haven't you?
I thought we needed a holding midfielder.
Yeah, yeah.
I think we need a goalkeeper. We've got Barry Davies
in
there.
Goal, yeah.
I'm quite happy with that. but it was... while he was training as a boxer, he also was playing a lot of football for Rockmount AFC, which was his side then, and he was showing a lot of potential. He supported Celtic and Tottenham Hotspur as a lad, and Liam Brady was his favourite player and his early inspiration. However, when he started to watch Brian Robson play, Brian Robson became the player he admired the most, because they were quite similar players, actually. The box-to-box style.
Irish running... fans can do that, can't they?
What's
they can
that?
Just change things about like that. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, he's my inspiration now. Well, yeah, Man United now.
Well, yeah, Robson was a similar player to Keane. You know, the box-to-box, as I say, the all-action Captain Marvel, as they called him. Captain Marvel. And this is the kind of qualities that Keane would have, of course. And little would he know that he would eventually become Robson's long-term replacement at Old Trafford. But let's not get ahead of ourselves just yet. He was turned down from the Ireland School Board.
Oh, this feels like a flashback now. It's great.
He was... Well, were you there? Did you turn him down from the Ireland schoolboys?
Yeah.
Egg on your face.
Yeah, no fists on my face.
he was turned down, and the reason was because he was just too small to make it...
Strange.
It is ridiculous. Lothar Matthäus was told he was too small to be a professional.
Weird.
Yeah.
I was also told that, yeah, so...
Yeah. No, you weren't. You were told you were too big.
All right.
Don't get the two mixed up.
Sticking the boot in there.
And I'll stick it in again if I need to. he applied for trials with English clubs and he was turned down for each one. And in 1989, he signed for semi-pro club Cobh Ramblers, which, you know, there's a little bit of a link there.
Oh, Cobh Ramblers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
because they're called Ramblers and work with the football Ramblers.
That's right, yeah.
It's the same word.
I feel an ounce of Roy Keane's career belongs to us. became one of their best players, and he would actually turn out for their youth side as well as their first team, often playing twice in the same weekend, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So he was obviously very popular there.
Not the best standard, though, is it?
No, but still, you know, you've got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
As we all know.
Absolutely, yeah, that's true, yeah.
In an FAR Youth Cup match, Keane's performance was seen by a Nottingham Forest scout. That's where it all began. He was brought over for a trial for Forest, and he impressed none other than Brian Clough, and was signed for £47,000 in the summer of 1990. It's a steal.
It's an investment.
Well, it's not bad, is it? His league debut came against Liverpool at the start of the 1990-91 season. And by 91, he was a regular starter in the side. Getting in ahead of Steve Hodge, former England international. Yeah. You know, that's a scalp.
Yeah, definitely. And, Steve Hodge was in the World Cup 90 squad.
That's right, yeah. So, and I forget this, but in the 1991 FA Cup final, with Lineker missing the penalty, Gascoigne getting injured, Roy Keane was involved.
Yeah.
He played for Forest in that final.
Yeah.
You know, that's how far back he goes. Yeah. It's crazy to think, really.
Yeah, you're right.
You know.
Days before the Premiership, in fact, effectively.
That's right, yeah. So it's really interesting. In the third round of that FA Cup.
It's strange, because I thought the... was invented when the Premier League started.
No, Tim Lovejoy said that.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
In the 91 FA Cup campaign, and this is magnificent, I never knew this, in the third round, he made a costly error against Palace, which gifted them a goal and cost them victory. And so, obviously, a draw went to replay.
Yeah.
When they got back to the dressing room after the match, Brian Clough was so incensed and so mad, he punched Roy Keane in the face. He knocked him to the floor.
Wow.
What did Keane do?
Well, Keane was a young lad at the time. So that it was probably that incident that you know, he never sought counselling over and thus it bubbled up. I don't know. Yeah. But he said that he bore no hard feelings because he sympathised with Clough due to the pressures of management. And he was always grateful that he gave him a chance in English football in the top flight. So,
that's
uncharacteristic, like, he forgave him.
Well, he's allowed to punch him in the face.
But, I mean, we're talking about Brian Clough here, you know.
Mm. Alcoholic.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on swiftly. Before, he was due to be sold, because it was quite obvious that the bigger club was going to come in for him and they couldn't keep hold of him, and Forest were relegated, and it triggered a clause in his contract, more to the point. Blackburn was so close to signing him under Dalgleish that... on the day the paperwork was due to be signed, old Alex Ferguson phoned him up and was like, "You sure you want to join them?"
Yeah.
And,
really?
Yep. And he's persuaded Keane to cancel his arrangement with Blackburn, and he signed for Man U for 3.75, which was a British record transfer fee at the time.
Yeah.
And Keane said later on, he said that his conversation had many swear words with a furious Kenny Dalglish. Furious. But anyway, so we went to Man U, and at the time, Robson and Ince... Yeah. I nearly said Robson and Jerome there. Robson and Ince were very much established, a very formidable midfield. I mean, they'd won the first league title since 1967. You know, they were a proper side there. But Robson was... he was 36 then, Robson, and due to...
what year was that?
93-94 was when that was all kind of kicking off. But because of injuries to Robson, Keane got a bit of a chance, and he really took it. You know, he established himself in that side. Then in 95, you know, a little bit later, Ince left for Inter. You know, Hughes went to Chelsea. Everton. They sold a few off, and then the likes of Beckham and Button, Scholes came in. Mm. Keane was very quickly the most experienced member of that midfield. Mm. And we all remember that the midfield four:
Giggs, Scholes, Keane, Beckham.
I mean, you can't do much better than that. Mm. Absolutely superb midfield it was.
Surely Cantona was around.
Well, I was going to say that midfield four perhaps wasn't established until a couple of years after. But when Cantona retired, Keane took over as club captain, and he missed. That was in the kind of 97-98 season, and he missed a lot of that season because apparently there was an incident with Alfinger Haaland.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
That was only the ninth game into the season, and that was of course when Keane went in for a tackle and he badly injured himself, and Haaland possibly regrets this now. Stood over Keane and accused him of trying to do Haaland, to try and hurt him, and fake an injury and so.
Is that where he got that idea from?
Absolutely. Keane perhaps didn't forgive him as quickly as he forgave Clough. But he bounced back the next season, Keane, 98-99, and then, of course, they won the treble.
But he didn't play in the final, did he?
He didn't play in the final, and that was a great shame, because especially in the semi-final away in Turin, when they were 2-0 down,
was unbelievable,
a magnificent performance. Bearing in mind, like, Zidane was playing for Juve.
Yeah.
You know, Keane was absolutely superb, and it was such a shame he never played in the final. And he just said he felt completely detached from the celebrations.
I'm sure he's chucked his medal away.
I think he might have given his medal away.
Yeah.
Because he just I wasn't playing in the final, he said.
Yeah.
He just felt he didn't want to be there. It just didn't He, as I say, he just felt detached from the whole thing. In 2001, it was at Manchester Derby at Old Trafford, and that was when he got his revenge against Haaland.
He had revenge on Haaland for him trying to hurt Haaland.
Yeah, I think so.
Actually, that was such quite so much vigour. That was absolutely abhorrent. He did a fucking hatch job on Haaland. Pretty much ended his career. That was disgraceful.
It was disgraceful. And that, unfortunately, with Keane, you do get the kind of two-sidedness.
Mm. Yeah. I'm halfway to rejecting him from the Hall of Fame for that.
Well, hang on. Before you do.
He's got to be good at football and he's got to have outstanding services to banter. And Keane.
We haven't got onto his international career.
Okay,
yet.
Fair enough. Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
So yeah, he's waited 4 years, pretty much 3.5, 4 years to do Haaland.
He's not a petty man.
No. And this is the man who forgave Brian Clough in a drop of a hat,
punching him in the face.
It's very, very odd. So throughout the noughties, he had a good rivalry with Patrick. I say good rivalry, a healthy rivalry, you might say, with Patrick Vieira. And do you remember the incident in the Highbury Tunnel in 2005 with Gary Neville?
It was a battle of Old Trafford, wasn't it?
No, it was at Highbury when they won 4-2.
Is that Pizzagate?
No, that was Old Trafford. It was at Highbury when Vieira was having a go at Gary Neville
I do remember that.
Fouling Reyes in a previous match or something.
That's before the game.
It was in the tunnel.
Yeah.
And
in the tunnel after the game or at half time.
Sorry. It was before the game as the teams were lined up. And Keane turned around and went, "All right, well, if you're going to pick on someone, why don't you pick on me?"
Yeah.
And Vieira was like, he was kind of like, "Well, come on then, what's up with you?"
Didn't he say?
This was all caught on camera.
Didn't he say, "If you love Senegal so much, why don't you play for them?" Or something.
Yeah, but
like
Vieira
that.
Did say, "Well, if you love Ireland so much, why don't you play for them?"
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a good. I mean, so Roy Keane with his just a sort of cap off his club career there. You know, 9 major honours were Man U, and he was the most successful captain in the club's history. He also, an interesting record he's got, he jointly holds the record of the most red cards received in English football. Total of 13 times.
With who?
Jesus.
Huh?
Who
joint holds the record?
Joint.
Was Jones, isn't it? Vinnie Jones.
That was Vinnie Jones, yeah. That makes sense. 13 sendings off, man.
And then, then he left Man U after slagging a lot of their players off and had a big bust-up with Ferguson and joined Celtic.
That was to do with Man United TV, wasn't it?
There was an interview on Man U TV. No, I don't think it ever went out on air.
No, he slated loads of the players that he subsequently signed.
he said, that's right, but he said they needed to butt their ideas up, and then I think he got pissed off and they didn't air it.
Yeah, that's right. Ferguson pulled it from air.
He didn't do much for Celtic, did he?
They won the league and the cup, but he only had
taken its toll by then, hasn't it?
He only had sort of 10-11 appearances. He was a bit injured and stuff, and but it was, you know, the club who he's always supported. It was a good way for him to finish.
It's a shame it wasn't better, really. It would have capped it off really nicely.
Yeah, but moving on to the international career, he never really took well to the Irish national team setup from day one. when he was called up for his first game for the under-21s, he took an immediate dislike to the whole thing and just described the setup as a bit of a joke. This is at the under-21 level. Mm. We haven't even moved on to the proper stuff. Apparently, under Jack Charlton, he tussled with Charlton a lot. He refused to travel to Algeria in a friendly once. Jack Charlton said, "You'll never play for Ireland again." He did, though. World Cup 94, he was there. They got to the second round, of course, put out by Holland, and that Pat Bonner mistake, as Barry Davis said. When they came home, though, the Irish, there was a bit of celebration, you know, after the World Cup, and he said that he was reluctant to join in the post-tournament celebration because he said there was nothing to celebrate. We didn't achieve anything.
Yeah, he cancelled Sunderland's bus tour when they won.
He did, I mean, Ricky, he's just born winner, you know, nothing else will do. And then we move on to World Cup 2002, when
I didn't rate you as a player, I don't rate you as a manager.
Yeah, the FAI went to the Pacific island of Saipan, the only island in the vicinity which didn't have a football pitch.
Oh, my God.
It really was, to be fair, you've got to sympathise with Keane.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, he was just fuming, and he was actually battling to be fit. People forget. So he needed a good training process to get him going for the Cup, you know, for the World Cup. So he was often moaning, and he was fuming when the squad's training equipment came late. He said where they were training, he said it was like a car park. And Mick McCarthy promised him to eradicate all the lacklustre and unprofessional approach to the training that had been personified in the Jack Charlton era. So he couldn't take any more, so he said, "I'm going home. Well, I'm going back to Manchester." And then McCarthy talked him round, and then Keane gave an interview to the Irish Times, just slating everything. Now, you see, McCarthy, to me, went wrong when he took great offence, obviously he's going to do that, But he confronted Keane over this article in front of the entire squad and coaching staff.
On the bus.
Which, I don't rate, he's not like that, is he?
That's awful management.
I don't rate you as a player, I don't rate you as a manager, and I stick it up your bollocks. That's what he said. Yeah. That's what he said.
There was a bit more effort and blinding in there. And Mick, you're a liar, he did start with. But yeah, that's the kind of... You can stick it up your bollocks is how it finished. Which I just
that's
absolutely
such a great
love.
Insult. Yeah.
But the thing is, none of Keane's teammates kind of backed him up there. They all just... I remember Keane saying this. He said they all just wimped out. But then afterwards, they were kind of like, yeah, you're probably right, Keane.
I bet, yeah.
So, I mean, you can imagine he was just fuming. And
you can imagine Jason Magatia going, where are we? Where am I? Is this not number 43 to hide?
So, and then we talked about his managerial career. I mean, what an instant impact he had at Sunderland.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, straight up the table. And when he joined Sunderland, he couldn't believe the non-professional attitude and approach to everything they had.
Well, they listened to ABBA in the dressing room, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, they had
Duran all the way.
Yeah, exactly. They on a trip to Barnsley, three players were late for the team coach when they were playing away to Barnsley. I mean, he just left them behind.
Yeah, he just went. So that's fair enough.
Absolutely, it's fair enough. And it was that kind of thing.
Steve McClaren used to do the same thing.
he got left behind?
Yeah.
So, Roy Keane, this is the guy who had... He's just an amazing character, but for good and bad reasons. Yeah. He divides people so much. I can remember meeting a couple of guys from Ireland, and I was just talking to him about Roy Keane, and it caused a real argument between the two. One of them saying he walked out on us in 2002, and I was like, how can you say that? Yeah. It really divided the country.
It makes you wonder how he signed players like Diouf and Richardson.
Yeah, it's crazy. He does seem to have gone out of his way to get these strange...
Diouf's an absolute liability. He's a liability.
Oh, God, absolutely. I mean, the penalty he gave away against Portsmouth, ridiculous. Ludicrous.
Mm. I think if Keane was from the continent or even South America or something like that, he'd be... kind of like that, his own man, and he'd be outspoken and stuff like that, but there'd be a bit more, he'd be more of a creative player, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of, if he was Eric Cantona, for example, people would forgive him a lot more, because he's just an industrious...
It's weird how it works,
yeah.
Like,
that's right, yeah.
True.
But, I mean, you know, he's really got two sides to him. I mean, Keane, this is the guy, as I said, 4 years he held a real massive grudge against Haaland, and then absolutely hammered him in that match. Yeah. Had a real vendetta against Patrick Vieira, but yet... does a hell of a lot of work with the Irish Guide Dogs for the Blind Association, which is one of his charities. And there was an occasion when there was an under-13 side from Dublin who, a few years ago, they finished winning their league, and their coaches gave them, as a reward, they gave them a trip to Liverpool and tickets to a Liverpool match. But they all obviously loved Roy Keane, you know, he was kind of all their hero. And so, like, the coaches of this team just kind of joking around sent a letter to Roy Keane saying, oh, we're coming over, we're going to be in Liverpool, any chance of getting a trip to Old Trafford? So a couple of months on, the boys, this team are in Liverpool the second morning of their stay, and they get a phone call, and Roy Keane phones them up and says, oh, I'm really sorry for not getting back to you sooner, but if it's sort of still all right with you boys, I've hired a coach, it's on its way to Liverpool, it's going to pick you up. Take you back to Old Trafford.
Classic.
You can get you can meet all the players who were in for physio, get a tour of the stadium and everything.
That's brilliant.
And he did.
Yeah, yeah.
And then when the boys left the Old Trafford, he said, listen, boys, don't be telling everyone. You'll ruin my reputation.
That's
Roy Keane, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, it's very true what you say about him. Just like the whole...
Yeah.
He's just a born winner. They should do a Nintendo Wii advert with him just smashing his living room.
Yeah. But I mean, he's never had a looking for kind of European Player of the Year or World Player of the Year. And I'm surprised at that.
We needed a bit of steel in the Hall of Fame. We've got
absolutely.
It.
Yeah,
absolutely.
There'll be some absolute rucks in the dressing room.
Yeah.
Well, that just about wraps it up for this week's Football Ramble. If you want to get in contact with us, the email address is footballramble@hotmail.com. We have a myspace.com/footballramble, and we have a group on Facebook. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, James or Jim.
Bye.
And goodbye, Luke.
Bye.
We're all off to hunt some wild boar.
Wild boar!
Never losing.